I bet we'd all agree there's far too much deception in this world, and most of us, we don't even slow down enough to dig for the truth, nor the root of the deception. It's so true that people are perishing for lack of knowledge. I have a call on my life to help expose the lies and deceptions that are wreaking havoc on men, women, children, families, and American liberty. And today, I'm interviewing Dr. Judith Reisman. This is Terry Beatley, your host of What If We've Been Wrong? I'm shining light into some dark places so that beauty, goodness, and truth defeat the schemes of the enemy. It's true, people are perishing for lack of knowledge, and we're instructed to have nothing to do with the evil deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what I do on What If We've Been Wrong? Rethink, explore, and uncover some hidden truths so that more people can experience an abundant life and the joy of being set free from the shackles that hold us in prison. Welcome to What If We've Been Wrong? Dr. Judith Reisman is a researcher, she's an author, historian, teacher, and she focuses on how pornography has become a pandemic, addicting men, women, and children, as well as exposing Dr. Alfred Kinsey's fraudulent sex science research. Most of you have probably never heard of Dr. Judith Reisman, but she travels the world with this pocket of information that can help so many countries. And she's been asked to speak in different courts around the country, help legislators, and she's fairly well known in Washington, D.C. So Dr. Judith Reisman, welcome to What If We've Been Wrong?
Well, thank you so much, Terry, because we've been wrong. Yeah.
We have been wrong. And folks, this is what we're going to cover on this show over the next hour. You know, pornography, hey, it's just such a normal way of life. That's what we've been told. But the lady you're going to hear from today, Dr. Reisman, she has some amazing information to share. She made an amazing discovery, and I'm even forgetting how many years ago it was. But Dr. Reisman, before we get into the nuts and bolts of who was Dr. Alfred Kinsey, can you first, let's start off with what Ronald Reagan had said, but then also share your personal part of the journey of how, what got you involved. I mean, you have a personal testimony to share about how pornography is destroying lives. But, you know, Ronald Reagan, tell us what he said about the breakdown.
Well, it was when he wrote the introduction or the preface to the victim's handbook in California, but he was president at the time. I mean, you know, I suppose it was sort of bridged the time, the both eras. But he said, in 1951, apparently, he says, it is about the time when the rights of victims were no longer relevant and the rights of the offenders began to take precedent in the court system, throughout the court system. And he was right, because he zeroed in particular on the year, well, 2 years after Kinsey's first book came out, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, and then a couple years before his second book came out, which was Sexual Behavior in the Human Female. And those books helped to absolutely transform our laws in favor of predators and to the detriment of victims.
So are you saying then that whatever the pseudoscience is that Dr. Alfred Kinsey perpetrated in these books, which you'll be explaining, you know, further what's in his books, but are you saying that our laws in America shifted from protecting the victims to more protecting the sex offenders?
Yes, absolutely, without any question whatsoever.
Can you walk us through a couple of examples?
Yeah, very importantly, in 1948, he came out with his book, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male. But before he published that book, he had been going all around the country and lecturing and helping, I put that in quotes, groups that were talking about changing the laws. Instead of being such strict laws, instead of having rape that was punishable by death in half the states of the Union and life in the other half, and that was just, you know, rape, ordinary, the old-fashioned rape, which was one man, one woman kind of thing, not today's kind of rapes. And, you know, instead of that, instead of having adultery being punished dramatically, instead of abortion being, of course, illegal, instead of all these, seduction, by the way, was against the law, you know, when in 1948. So instead of all these things, Kinsey was visiting with committees to change the, who were reexamining the law, visiting with them, helping them, and showing them his research based upon which a whole new, what's called Model Penal Code in 1955, a Model Penal Code put out by the American Law Institute, which is the arm, the education arm of the American Bar Association, came out, and that Model Penal Code was used then to help change our laws, which, Terry, had favored protection of women and children dramatically over today. Yeah.
So our listening audience, America Out Loud audience, what you're hearing is the world's leading expert, Dr. Judith Reisman, explaining how our laws have shifted because of the pseudoscience of one particular man, Dr. Alfred Kinsey. So before we get into the nuts and bolts of who was Dr. Alfred Kinsey, because he's now deceased, Dr. Reisman, can you give us, two examples of laws that, specifically laws that shit, well, we talked about rape. So that's what you said. Half of the states, if a man raped a woman, he'd be punishable by death. Now what are they getting? 30 days in prison?
If that, I mean, it, mostly as we see by the Me Too groups, you know, the women coming out, it's mostly a question of he said, she said.
Right.
So really everything is up for grabs. But where there's enough physical evidence and witnesses that the woman or the child, had been raped against their consent, you see, because, okay, let's remember. Well, they won't remember, most people, but in 1948, it did not matter if people gave consent, right? Fornication was against the law. You were not supposed to have sex until marriage. And remember, you know, I know I keep saying remember, but most people aren't old enough to remember, but it used to be that the idea of a man having sex with a woman depended upon his consent in the court, not in the court of public opinion, but in the court of the marriage vows. You see, he would stand up in a room, a large room, maybe with some pretty music, maybe with that lovely lady next to him in a lovely gown, and he would say, "I am consenting to love, honor, and cherish this woman till death we part, based on my giving my consent here in front of all these witnesses. You have my word now that I will protect and defend her." Under those circumstances, the priest or the rabbi or whoever would say, "Very good. You know, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, you may kiss the bride," which was essentially the open sesame, saying, okay, now you can engage in the marriage, the sex in marriage, which used to be called something else, you know, the marital act.
Right.
The marital act.
And for our listening audience, I mean, some of this may sound so absurd that life used to be like this, but everything's been cheapened. It's been so degraded. And so let's get into the nuts and bolts of the who. Who was Who was this Dr. Alfred Kinsey, and what did you discover in some of his files? But let's first get through the who part. Who was this guy?
Well, he was presented by Indiana University, which is named after his, you know, there's an organization at Indiana University called the Kinsey Institute, you know, and they get a lot of money. They get federal money. They've had $21 million for, you know, over some period of time, much more now. But anyway, it's named after him. He was therefore presented to the American public fake news, you know, as a very respectable, bow-tied, crew-cut gentleman who was married, very conservative. In some places, they would call him a Republican. With three children, he was a family man, only a scientist. That was his only real interest. That, of course, was a complete lie, heterosexual, naturally. That was a complete lie. They knew that. The heads of the university, of course, at the time knew that, as did a lot of the inner group at the Kinsey Institute, his team. It was, in fact, and this is well established, he was involved in sex with the people on his team. He forced sex. There's even a film that admits that, the film starring Liam Neeson as Kinsey, even admits that he forced his fellow workers or his researchers, whatever you want to call them, to have sex with each other, not with their husbands, the wives, because you know, he was involved very much in these activities. He forced his wife to do so, to make films. You know, he was a very demented man. Not only bad enough, he involved, not only did he do these kinds of things, but he was such a fanatic, obsessive pornography consumer and producer. He made films of everybody. Producer. Not only that, but he actually engaged in such a violent form of masturbation of himself. Excuse me, you know, but this is, you know, our years. Such a violent form of that type of behavior that he died of orchitis, which was a disease of the genital organs, of the testicles, and venereal disease. So he was quite corrupt. And on top of that, of course, he had been involved in the sexual abuse. In fact, we would have to identify it as rape, either with himself or his team members, of at least, at minimum, 317. That is the most conservative number we can come up with, of children from 2 months of age.
Now, I want to just interject right here to the listening audience. This may sound so bizarre, but you can actually find his printed research if you Google, just go on to Google Images, Kinsey Table, what is it, Table 34, Dr. Reisman? Tell our listening audience what you discovered, if I'm correct on this, you discovered it in a file when you were working for the Justice Department, is that right?
No, not actually. I had already discovered it at that time when I did my work for the Justice Department. That's another story. Mm-hmm. I had already discovered it by reading his books.
That's true. Yeah.
They were there. I mean, I had been to a major conference in Wales, UK. At that conference, I was presenting child sexual abuse images in Playboy. Not even Penthouse, I don't think, at the time, but in Playboy. A psychologist who had argued that there were no such images came up to me after he saw my presentation, and he said, look, if you really are concerned about child sexual abuse, you have to read the Kinsey reports. And so I said, why? And he said, because I knew of Kinsey only as a weirdo, you know, nothing more. So he said, I worked with Kinsey and with Pomeroy. One is a pedophile and the other a homosexual. I said, which is which? And he said, read and discover.
And that's what we want our listening audience to know as well. Dr. Eastman, tell our listening audience the name of your book where they can get all of the facts about Dr. Alfred Kinsey.
Well, I've written several books. There, I guess three of them were, you know, at least are on Kinsey. And they're all available through my website, drjudithreisman.org or .com, either way, J-U-D-I-T-H-R-E-I-S-M-A-N. But the names of the last one is, what is it?
Sexual sabotage, isn't it? Sexual sabotage,
and then what's the other one?
Well, I tell you what, we'll remember what the other one is. But
I remember now: stolen honor, stolen innocence.
Yeah.
And first one was Kinsey, sex and fraud.
That's why I want you to listen, because my people are perishing for lack of knowledge. When we have Dr. Eastman back in just in 2 minutes, hang on, we have more information for you. Come on back to What If We've Been Wrong.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Terry Beatley, host of What If We've Been Wrong? Today I'm shining light in some dark places with Dr. Judith Reisman. Dr. Judith Reisman is not only an author, researcher, she's the world's leading expert on Dr. Alfred Kinsey, who is the sexual deviant, and his lies, his pseudoscience, is the reason why American law shifted from Bible-based law, where women and children were truly protected from sexual deviance, to laws that were so softened down, they really protect the offender. What we'd like to do is keep digging into this Table 34. And listeners, when you have a chance, go on to Google Images. Just pull up this image, Table 34, Dr. Alfred Kinsey. What you're going to see will shock you. And this is what Dr. Reisman, I thought she had discovered it. True, it was already published in Dr. Alfred Kinsey's book from the What was it, the 1948? Is that the book it was in, or was it 1952?
No, it was 1948. It was his first book, and you would have assumed, since he was the most well-covered scientist, every newspaper, 75 or 79%, I forgot which, of our newspapers covered his book and lauded his book. Talked in glowing terms. He was on the cover of just about every major magazine in the United States at the time.
Well, this reminds me of the whole Bruce Jenner thing, turning into, you know, supposedly a female, which we know men cannot turn into females and females cannot turn into men. But isn't that right? That's what the media did. They blasted Caitlyn Jenner all over the front covers, everything, for what, well over a year. So keep telling us, Dr. Reisman, what will the viewer find? And just tell us more about who was this sexual deviant, Alfred Kinsey, who so altered America?
Well, he was making his pornography films up in his attic. For one, you know, certain amount of the films were made there. He also made them at Indiana University. That's their legacy. And he did so in soundproofed rooms because some of them involved a lot of screaming, crying, yelling. And there was a point at which he was engaged in such deviant sexual behavior for himself. He would hang himself by his parts. Yeah. And he would collapse. He would fall, you know, unconscious onto the floor of the basement at Indiana University there. And he was found thusly quite a few times. And he tried to circumcise himself with a knife in his bathtub. I mean, the man was demented.
Tell us about, so the rotten fruit of his message, which can be found in the his two books, what is it, The Human Sexuality of the Male and The Human Sexuality of the Female, is that right?
Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, Sexual Behavior in the Human Female. Okay. Now, if he had titled them Sexual Behavior in the Deviant Male, you know, the Deviant Human Male, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Aberrant Human Male, and so on. He could have told us then something that would be useful, because everything he said was normal, natural human behavior, which brings us back to his tables in his books. And, you know, the fact that I discovered those tables and that everybody had written about him, everybody had been lauding him all over the nation, and even our scientists who criticized him did not see what he had written they didn't see those tables. They just didn't see, and they were not hidden at all. So that discovery, when I was looking at that, because you know, a pedophile, okay, yes, you're talking about a 2-month-old baby in table 30. Going through the stopwatches used to record their thing there and that in on those tables.
So his belief was that children are sexual from birth, and he was setting out to try to prove this. So America, listen to what Dr. Judith Reisman has to say. I mean, we're going to go on. I know this is hard, I'm sure, to some of you to listen to, but I'm telling you, it affects every single American, from men, women, children, all the way down to our parental rights. I'm thinking about Justice Antonin Scalia, the late Justice Scalia on the Supreme Court, when he said we can track the social collapse back to the 1950s.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on what he meant there?
Well, in the 1950s, he said at that point he was being interviewed, and he said, the law journals were printing various views about sex, and the courts followed the law journals. That is, the judges followed those academicians who were teaching law in the journals at the time. Well, the folks who were teaching law and who were quoted in the law journals were all citing Alfred Kinsey. The 1948, right after his book came out, one of the first journal articles was celebrating Kinsey, and they did not stop. It was a group. They worked together. There were quite a few of these law professors who managed to stay home during World War II and not serve mostly in the army. And so they were able to rise to prominence, and they wrote their opinions and wrote these journal articles, law journal articles, that led the judges. The judges had to be changed. They had to be turned. And it took a little while, but they certainly did manage to do that.
Yep.
Now, I want to clarify something. When I said that Kinsey was involved in the torture and rape and assault of these hundreds and hundreds of children, if not more. It could be 2034. But anyway, mostly they were boys. They were most boys. He appears to have been a pederast, not a pedophile. Pederast preferring boys. And his conclusion when he described these children fainting, having convulsions, for, and I'm quoting now, Kinsey, fainting, having convulsions, weeping hysterically, especially among the younger children. He doesn't say children, especially among the younger, what did he call them? Cases, I think it was. You know, when he describes these horrific responses of these children, these babies, they were all under 12, the group he's talking about. He said when they would respond that way, he said that these were signs of orgasm.
Oh, my God.
Now, wait. Now, think about that. When I read that, I thought, wait a minute. You know, this only person who could say that was an orgasm would be a sadomasochist.
Exactly.
And the only person who would say that about a child having a fainting convulsion, striking, and I'm quoting now, striking the partner. What partner? The man who was raping the child, yeah?
Right.
Okay. The only person who would say that would be a pedophile sadomasochist, a sadomasochistic pedophile. And that was when I said, oh boy, that's what Kinsey is.
To the listeners, I read Dr. Judith Reisman's book, Sexual Sabotage, before I ever spoke to Dr. Reisman. I remember calling her. I still remember where I was standing because I think I was so shell-shocked at what I had learned. You know, we spend so much time just twiddling around, wasting time on Facebook or whatever. You know, I just want to encourage America, read at least one of Dr. Reisman's books. I remember my question to you, Dr. Reisman, was, am I, because it seemed incredulous. I remember asking you, are you telling me as a reader that our court system has been altered, our laws have been altered based on the lies of Dr. Alfred Kinsey? And of course, you know, the answer is yes, absolutely. And the
absolutely.
Okay. So let me move on because I want to make sure we have time for all these questions before that next break. Let's see. How about this Me Too, this whole Me Too avalanche? What is it saying about the success of the sexual revolution? Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, well, we all know that it has done what it was maybe meant to do, but what it was meant to do was to destroy our nation because we have had little children with venereal disease. We have had every kind of venereal disease increasing off the charts. We have UTIs today, urinary tract infections, and women have no knowledge that a large portion of that comes from the way in which they are having sexual relations, which are not, quote, just straight, you know, heterosexual, what they used to call a missionary position. There are these special fun times that women have, you know.
Well, and that's due to the perversion of Dr. Kinsey now convincing men that they can have sex in the rectum, and it doesn't work. I mean, it leads to all these diseases.
Well, that's anal sex. That's sodomy, anal sodomy. The UTIs don't necessarily come from anal sodomy. They come from alternative positions.
Right.
But yes, anal sodomy, our sodomy being an oral sodomy, and the oral venereal diseases are off the charts. Nobody had oral venereal disease back in the 50s. Nobody had anal venereal diseases. Nobody was going to die of sodomy. And we are collapsing now, and we are teaching it at the youngest age, even in kindergarten, certain kinds of bizarre recommendations and discussion is allowed, you know, that hints towards sex. But these are in kindergarten. It's a little less.
Exactly. But I think it's important. And we're going to go there to talk about how our children in the government run school system, and now it's filtering over into some private schools, How are these young children being groomed into sexual deviancy? And I'm telling you, America, it leads all back to Dr. Alfred Kinsey, Margaret Sanger, you know, who started Planned Parenthood. But of course, today we're just focused on the Kinsey factor. Dr. Reisman, I know you talk with very active parental groups all across America. More and more parents are catching on to what's actually going on inside that schoolhouse. You know, it's not the sweet little schoolhouse like back in Little House on the Prairie days. You know, I really want to encourage American parents to get involved, learn what Dr. Reisman has in her books, join some of these groups, because, and you can probably name some of these groups, Dr. Reisman, some of the leading groups. Explain to our listeners what's happening inside the schoolhouse. How are these little kids, as young as kindergarten, being groomed for sexual deviancy? What's going on there?
Well, I should say that in 1973, I first got involved in the sex education in the schools, because my kids brought home from school Planned Parenthood booklet called You've Changed the Combination, which was telling my children that they could have sex with their friends, plural, and that, you know, they were being turned away from experience with the same sex, because they're my, you know, I didn't want them, or their parents don't want them to experiment. You know, that's the only reason that they aren't having sex with the same sex. And which concluded that if you want a virgin, and I'm quoting, if you want a virgin to marry, this is 1973. Mm-hmm. If you want a virgin to marry, buy one. There are girls who have freely chosen that business. Marriage is the price you'll pay. And you'll get the virgin very temporarily, end quote. And that was 1973. You changed the combination. So from 1973 to today, light years have passed in terms of what is now promoted to the children. And remember, anything that's legalized can be absolutely taught in the schoolroom. If sodomy is legalized, then it can be taught to children as part of the saving LGBTQR, you know, groups, because the assumption is that children remember this. Children are always known to be, said to be sexual from birth. So since they are said to be sexual from birth, you have to train them about sex, not just that there is such a thing, before they've become they've had any sex hormones, of course, flooding, you know, through their system. And so the whole concept would be that since they're sexual from birth, you've got to what? You've got to give them all this information about how to do it in the schoolroom so that they won't get a venereal disease. That's simply not true, but that's what the claim had been. So they won't get a venereal disease or anything, and use condoms. Well, you know, all this is filled with fraud, filled with lies. The condom was never approved, by the way, for any kind of sex except missionary position, just male, female.
Exactly. And I that just right there ought to be a class action lawsuit.
Yes, it should be. Anybody who wants me to testify in the courtroom, I'm happy to do it. Any parents who've had a child who has gotten their sex education and been taught these things, I will do it free.
Oh, and you heard it right here on What If We've Been Wrong with Dr. Judith Reisman. For those of you just tuning in, if you only caught part of that quote, Dr. Reisman was paraphrasing the false pseudoscience information of Dr. Alfred Kinsey, the pseudoscientist who, based on his false narrative, it filtered into our law, and so it shifted our laws from protecting women and children who had been sexually abused to basically protecting the offender. And so stay tuned, because we're going to be digging deeper and deeper into this. I think for the little bit of time we have left, Dr. Reisman, before the next segment, how about if we talk, let's just talk, we only have about a minute and a half. talk a little bit about what's happening across America. Parents are awakening to what's going on. And again, we'll probably have to take a break and then come back to the next segment. But let's start into this. What are parents doing?
Well, parents are starting to try to be active in this. But remember, even our parents, we are third generation, Kinsey. You know, we are third generation down the track. So they are acting only because they are seeing the venereal diseases coming down the pike everywhere. And they know the effect it's having on their children. And because of the sexual abuse of the children in the schools, right, by the teachers and by other kids and by which is clearly established in the data. No question about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe in the next segment, we can cover some of the names of the groups across America. You know, it's so true. In God's word, you know, he tells us that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. But the purveyors of these lies, like Alfred Kinsey, Margaret Sanger with Planned Parenthood, no, their worldview, their religion, if you will, is if it feels good, do it. And so we are reaping the rotten fruit of shifting away from the protection that God gives us in his word. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And now it's filtered all the way into our school systems. So how about, can you think of one group of parents that are probably one of the best leading the way in terms of like getting individual parents motivated to get into their schools? Do any groups come to mind?
Yeah, they do. But what I will suggest is that people go to my website and just get in touch with me, and I will see what I can, you know, it depends. A lot of these groups, well, they're try to stay tight.
Right. Got it. Well, let me drive people to your website. If you listeners, I beg you tonight, go to Dr. It's Dr. Judith Reisman. I'm going to spell that Reisman.org. So it's doctors as in Dr. Judith Reisman.org. What you're going to find on there, there's so much content on Dr. Reisman's website. You'll be up all night long reading, and then check her out on videos on YouTube and all this. We're going to wind down for another break. You are listening to What If We've Been Wrong? We're shining light in dark places with Dr. Judith Reisman, and come on back just after this quick network break.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Terry Beatley, and you're listening to What If We've Been Wrong? I'm shining light in dark places with Dr. Judith Reisman. Listening audience, you're going to be amazed at this. Dr. Reisman, in 1994, walloped Playboy magazine on its head. So just recently, Hugh Hefner, the founder of Playboy, recently died. And oh, of course, all the major media all across America and who knows the world, they just venerated Hugh Hefner, founder of Playboy. But there's a whole lot more to Playboy than meets the naked eye. Dr. Reisman, tell us what you discovered about Playboy and how you were able to crush Playboy in the Netherlands.
Yeah, it was kind of a very thrilling experience. I was, first of all, I should make it clear, Hugh Hefner, remember, Mr. and Mrs. and Ms. America, he was a virgin. He was a 22-year-old virgin in college, like most men were at the time, you know. He discovered Kinsey at that point. He read Kinsey and he said, oh my gosh, my parents have been lying to me all this time. They've been lying to me about sex. And I am going, and I'm quoting him now, I will be Kinsey's pamphleteer, right? Kinsey's pamphleteer.
You're kidding me. He said he wanted to be Kinsey's pamphleteer?
Oh, yes, indeed. That was the meaning of Playboy. That was how the magazine evolved, because he was going to be the pamphleteer, and that's what happened. So when Kinsey put out Sexual Behavior of the Human Female in 1953, Hefner put out, you know, his book, his magazine, Playboy magazine. Okay, that was the first issue, the December of 1953. Now, since Kinsey had been using children so brutally for all these years and had reported on this, and I knew his propaganda, I thought, oh my, I wonder what Hefner's been doing, you know? So I looked his magazine, and yes, sure enough, he was promoting children as sexual targets from, he was grooming the consumer to accept children as sexual targets.
Now, how was he grooming? I mean, I'm picturing, okay, these men buy Playboy magazine. How did Hugh Hefner groom the viewer? What do you mean?
Very deliberately and very carefully. He used cartoons first. He used black and white cartoons of little boys, sort of just watching what was going on, looking curiously to have sex with somebody. That was in 1954 already. He did that. But then they evolved into larger cartoons, and then in color cartoons. And then within about 10 years, they evolved into girls in the situation, because the reader would not accept girls originally in any kind of cartoon if she was in a, you know, sexual situation, a child. The reader was still quite conservative, the reader, the consumer. So it had to slowly move its way. And so he did, and then he end up with Brooke Shields in, nude, by Playboy, used in Playboy. Jodie Foster, nude, very nude, and very explicitly displayed at 14. But that took a while. It was at least 20 years. Their worst year for having the most kids in scenes. Mostly they would use them in cartoons. And then they used Sex in Cinema, a section there, always to placate the reader, the viewer. Don't worry, you know, father. Don't worry, brother. Don't worry, you know, it's just, we're just ha, ha, ha. Or anyway, she doesn't mind. She's just very sophisticated, Jodie is, and that sort of thing.
Right.
So it evolved over time. Until really the next, you know, generation accepted much more the view of children as appropriate targets. So I was on a television program in the Netherlands, and I said, Playboy has been promoting children as sexual targets, because you can do that better, by the way, in cartoons than you can in photographs. So, yes, sexual targets since 1954. And they sued me for libel and slander, right?
Oh, they sued the wrong person.
It was Grant. So they sued it was a Christian broadcast, the station, and the poor people were so worried that they were going to lose. So they immediately sent, you know, message to me, oh my goodness, you know, so. Well, how can we? They're suing everybody. They're suing us. So I sent them a huge mail thing of pictures and quotes and page numbers and everything. The originals, sent it immediately to them, and the judge ruled, they said, absolutely, these are children. These are children in sex scenes.
Oh my gosh. You know?
Yeah, this is a child in a scene with a man standing, pulling his pants down, and she says it's going to cost $50 for Teddy, you know, for her.
Oh my goodness.
And so he said, no, she's absolutely right. So, you know, you're wrong. And so they threw out the lawsuit, at which point Playboy protested. They said, you can't do that. So the judge replied, and I get I had this all translated out of the, you know, in the Dutch. The judge replied, well, you have, large resources in the United States. Sue her there, which I keep saying, please, you do. Please try still to sue me here, you know.
Interesting. Have you tried? I mean, has there ever been a concerted effort to, I know that may sound bizarre, but stir up Playboy so much here that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I tried, but you see, they know they would lose here.
Exactly.
They would lose here. Yeah. When the American public would see what they've been doing to them, grooming them all these years.
Right.
Are you kidding?
Exactly.
They would lose so fast and they could never recover.
A listening audience, this is why I named the show, What If We've Been Wrong? Because we've been so dumbed down, desensitized that, oh, pornography, it's legal. And that just reminded me of something. Dr. Eastman, you told me for one semester, I believe, you taught at George Mason University. Is that right? Walk the listeners to the survey that you gave these young people at this college course before and after you're educating them for one semester, because I find this shocking.
Yeah, well, it was a group, I guess about, there were 40, you know, it was 40 kids. And the title of the course was Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. So, it got a lot of kids. And at the end, at the beginning, of course, we did a beforehand, base, what do you think of pornography? Should it be legal? And 100% said, yeah, absolutely, you know, freedom of speech and so on. Well, during the semester, I had them read the opposite information. We had a book called Take Back the Night, in which I was in that. But I had them read other material that they simply never were given an opportunity to even know existed before about pornography. So they had to read that, you know, and then at the end of the semester, I did a debate thing between the two. I said, you guys take one side, one group takes the other side. And I had them do a back and forth on the issue of should the pornography be illegal? Mm-hmm. And one group was supposed to say no, and the other group was yes. And the final result was at the end, they were back and forth. It was about 50 minutes, I suppose, you know, that took back and forth. And at the end, I said, well, who won? And they all said, well, the anti, you know, the no pornography, you know, illegal. Yeah, that won. They won. And I said, why? How do you say that? You know, why would you say that? Well, because they all wanted, because they all changed their minds, except for one person, that pornography should be illegal. It should absolutely be illegal because children and people are being raped and tortured right. Based on stuff.
And while we're talking about, I mean, I just find that, well, I find it actually encouraging that if people have the truth, if they knew what you knew, you know, it's a much brighter future. And so I just say bless you for all your work. Talk to our audience about the addictive nature of pornography and what it's doing to men. And it's also happening to women and children. Can you address the addiction part?
Well, yeah, it's an obvious addiction. Anybody who denies it's an addiction already has a problem mm-hmm. because it's just too obvious. You know, they start, and especially when they start young, and the youngest now, the age we're looking at is now about 9 or 10, when kids are being exposed and becoming addicted to the material.
Can you explain the biological, like how does somebody get addicted to it? Go over the how, the psychological part.
Well, there's what you call natural drugs. Or exogenous drugs and endogenous drugs. Endogenous means that it's your own internal, you know, you produce by your own body produces the drug, whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. Testosterone, epinephrine, and so on. Those are, that would be endogenous. And then there's exogenous drugs, natural drugs, which mimic, which cause the production of the same high level of arousal that is produced by the material that's endogenous to your own body. So the child or the adult begins to look at something which is scary. First of all, you have to understand it's never sex, just sex. It's always fear too. Fear is linked completely with fear and shame are linked with the pornography, because no matter what you do, you will be afraid, you will be ashamed, you will be afraid, you know, that yep. you're going to be discovered and so on and so on. So fear itself is a high level and it's high level arousal. There is absolutely no question that the higher the arousal, the higher the addiction, right? And so the arousal has to be continued over and over. You have to increase it more and more, just like you do with any other drug. It loses its power. The name of the game is novelty. The more you have novelty, the more arousal there will be.
To our audience, highest, Dr. Eastman, I don't know if they're going to understand what you mean by novelty. What does that mean?
Novelty meaning anything that increases your adrenaline. Your adrenaline will become more increased if at first it's just that the centerfold, the cute pretty lady with the centerfold, right? Mm-hmm. And she's kind of half dressed. Well, you take off. It's like a striptease. You know, the more you take off, the more the adrenaline rises. That's the novelty. Now, you have to increase that novelty at a certain point. You know, how much can you do taking off just the clothes? So you pose her differently. You pose her differently upside down. You use a little violence, you know, right. in the background at first, and then you bring it up front. You use two guys with the girl. That's novelty. Then you bring three guys with the girl. Then you do the shape. You do all these are all novelties. Mm-hmm. And no novelty suffices. At a certain point, it's got to be children, because that's going to be the novelty.
And that's where we're at now.
We are. I do a Google search called baby rape. You know, we are at raping infants, absolutely raping infants.
Well, I know right now we have at least one man listening to this show. I pray it's thousands listening to this show, sharing this podcast, because I believe, we know that people are perishing, you know, for lack of knowledge. It's exactly like the enemy to entice a man into pornography, then fill his life with fear, with mm-hmm. shame, yeah. but with this yeah. horrible addiction that keeps him coming. He's actually a victim of what yeah. Alfred Kinsey yeah. spewed onto America with a whole lot of, you know, Hugh Hefner's help. And
yeah,
so
absolutely.
For me, it's like righteous anger. And I think this is what just keeps me going, is I believe that if people have the truth, these men, and now we know, you know, there are women out there addicted to pornography now, they'll seek
quite
the
a
help.
Few.
Yeah, yeah. They'll seek the help where they can find the help. In fact, speaking of that, where do people go to get the help? I mean, because we're talking about hardwiring of the brain.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely hardwiring. Your brain is resculpted. It does not just return. Now, it can. Now, there's a group called NoFap, which is on it's a secular group, and they have a website, NoFap. And what that is it is thousands and thousands and thousands of people are members of this NoFap thing. It's no masturbation, because masturbation is the component to pornography. It's the cut back. They don't say no. They try to get people to first cut back, and then to get rid of the masturbation, because they want to get rid of the pornography. They want to get out of pornography. These are people who are sucked into it. And remember, when I say shame and fear, they have recoded the shame and the fear as sexual. That's That is what they think their arousal is from. If it was just sexual, if all that was sex, if there was no shame, no fear, no other kinds of deep-seated angers involved, there would never be the level of high arousal that there is, because normal sex just kind of, you know, percolates along. So these guys have to be overcome, and they will mislabel. The children are mislabeling. They label the sexual, they label the fear they're feeling in school with this sexual stuff that they get. They label that what's around them. Everybody says they're feeling sexual. So they decide, oh, okay, I guess I must be. Oh, I guess I'm a boy. I guess I'm a girl. Because, you know, the arousal, the cortisol that fills the body with anxiety is higher than any normal situation would allow one to experience. So they label that sex. Now, they can go down that trail and they can never come back. But remember, the brain is very flexible. We know that people can be recovering. We know that people can recover from addiction. The NoFap thing that you read it all the time, of the various folks writing in saying, look, I've been off for a month. My brain fog is gone. I'm now looking at women. I'm interested again, that kind of thing. So, but you know, you got to get involved.
All right. We are listening to Dr. Judith Reisman. You can access Dr. Reisman at drjudithreisman.org. I encourage you to get all of her books, read at least one of her books. I also encourage you to go support and sign the petition to stop the Kinsey Institute. And if you would go to citizengo.org, you'll find everything at her website, drjudithreisman.org. Dr. Reisman, thank you so much for sharing your time. I'm definitely going to have you back on. You are a fountain of information. God bless you. And I believe we will be victorious. The day is coming when men and women and children will have the knowledge that they need to be able to shut these lies down. And that's what we do at What If We've Been Wrong. We're shining light in dark places. Thank you for tuning in, and look forward to next week.